You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What happened here?
No, sometimes I accidentally hit record to cloud, and as we've talked about, I don't know. We'll finish recording. I don't know where is it going to end up. It's going to end up on like the ISIS servers.
Everybody's blaming ISIS for everything these days.
ISIS is back, I guess, huh?
I guess. Listen, the media is obviously very crooked. That's a running theme on this show. But it's crooked in very regionally specific ways. Like, is it true that Putin is trying to throw ISIS in with the Ukrainians right now? That's what our news is reporting. Is that actually what their news is reporting? I don't know. I don't know anything. Don't trust anything.
No, yeah, I mean, it's, there's the...
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
You distrust and second-guess everything unless it confirms your biases. And then you're all in on it.
Right.
That's what supposed to do.
I think that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, should we start doing that?
There is a comic book creator right now who's getting murdered, and it looks like he might have been on some foul shit. Looks like he might have been messaging the wrong people. But nobody cares about that. Like nobody cares about the thing that he actually did. He's just obnoxious, so they want him to die. You know what I mean? Or like you see this in call-outs online where it's people just want you to fail if you kind of suck. You know, like not like they don't care what you did or didn't do. If you kind of suck, and you provide them there's some sand against their saddle, you know, like some type of like, this guy irritates me. As soon as you're implicated in anything, it's fucking to the gallows, my guy. You're dead. Yeah. That's what I'm watching happen in real time. And what's rough is you can't defend people as much as you'd like to because you don't actually know what they do in their very private lives. You can say what you've seen, but then people are just going to murder you because they'll say, they'll point out that you don't have access to their private life. And then you're like, well, yeah, I guess, but neither do you. So, you know, are we at a standstill here? So whatever.
But that's how it really is though. Like that's like from the beginning of time, if we're all being honest with ourselves, like throughout the Me Too movement, throughout everything it's always been the he said, she said bullshit. It's always been your word again, who we're choosing to believe with. I mean, obviously, in certain instances, there's more, you know, I don't know. I guess if you have a paper trail of receipts of text messages but it's for the most part, it's always been, yo, I wasn't in the room. You know,
did I tell you what the ex bad boy employee? I don't know what the hell his role was. He was just like part of maybe the firm or something, like the 30th guy in the firm, right? So he was some affiliate of back in the day of the Diddy and kind of that whole squad. I forget what the fuck it was called. Anyway, maybe the head squad, honestly. He has moved to the Middle East. A couple of these dudes have done this. He's moved to the Middle East and become a devout Muslim. And, you know, like maybe you can move to Iran, I guess. Actually, I think all these guys are Qatar or Qatar, as they sing on national news now, without informing me of that change. They all live in Qatar or they lived in Saudi Arabia, whatever. But they... maybe your residuals can go pretty far there. I don't know. But I thought this was fascinating. The one dude said he was asked about the Diddy thing, and he goes, well, as a Muslim, I can't really comment on that because in my faith, it requires four witnesses for you to make an accusation. And should you make it without four witnesses, then you are, in fact, guilty.
That must be a little unreasonable.
We are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, like, wow, about that, it's going to be like, well, I guess I can't question him or it's Islamophobia, but four does seem like a lot. What circumstances, yeah. What circumstance in life could you have four witnesses? Maybe a car accident?
Yeah, maybe a car accident. That would probably, or yeah, some, it would, I mean, it automatically makes it a public thing, right? Like, once you're at four or more people, you're in public, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be, or you're with your family, maybe. I don't know. What happened this week? Yeah. Are you up on Nickelodeon?
Oh, you mean that thing that we citizen journalists reported 4 years ago?
Yeah,
didn't we? Where that? This old Dan Schneider thing is so, like, you can watch.
Yeah,
you can watch YouTube documentaries from 2010 about this guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is how long it takes mainstream news. They got to go through the checks and balances of making sure it's okay, or, oh, hey, is this the weirdo pedo we're busting this week, or are we letting this guy slide? Really strange that this is hitting some people as a surprise, but I mean, I guess, so I knew about the Brian Peck thing, right? Because I think we had read it on this podcast, because it was open information on his Wikipedia, that he was rehired.
Yeah.
Straight out of jail.
It's insane. That's like, honestly, that makes the whole thing bigger than just whatever happened to Drake and Josh or Amanda Bynes or whatever. Is like, yo, what was happening that they saw that this guy just got off the fucking he just got slammed with the fucking pedo charge, fucking sex offender, and they rehired him.
Yeah, it's like a guy covering his head with a jacket during a perp walk, straight to the set. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. But here's the thing. I was shooting it all bail for a while when I first read it because, yes, people talk, but there was a time where not everything was, information wasn't just everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And you would have had to have been really looking. But
I think that they do like background checks when you get hired.
No, 1997. Come on, man. But
it was, it was like 2004.
Listen, here's the thing that I was very shocked by. According to one of the kids, that dude at that trial, that dude had name brand people on his side of the aisle, on his side of the court.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that changes the narrative to me because that means, oh, this wasn't something that this guy somehow managed to hide. It was something that there was collusion to hide, you know?
Well, they were all, yeah. I mean, he also, they did that thing. Damn. Remember Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis getting killed online for defending the fucking Hyde?
Yes. Was that his name? Hyde?
Well, that was his name in the show. I forget. Danny Masterson, right?
Yeah.
Is that in your 2024? That's, you got to be in the remember grid for the end of the year.
Was that this year or last year?
It might have been the tail end of last year.
Snuck in last year. I actually, as strange as this is, people wanting Masterson to die, because I don't know if you're aware of this. If you were at the apartment and logged onto the YouTube, there's this one fella who just reports on Danny Masterson getting abused in prison. And that's his entire YouTube. His entire YouTube is him wearing like Jesse Ventura sunglasses going, this pedo's getting raped up. And you're like, holy shit, this is dark.
Oh, God. I mean, I was also, go on.
Also, he wasn't accused of being a pedo. So it's like extra weird when you're like, wow, can't wait for this fucker to die. And you're like, well, it makes me want to go through his case because there was some people who had a problem with it. And what was reported to me through those people, like their Eugene, didn't make it feel like, oh, that's a scant amount of evidence to send a man to jail for 25 years. But I don't know, right? Like the Wikipedia is not very forthcoming because it makes it sound like, it makes it sound like we would need more for you and I to feel comfortable signing somebody to 25 years. But perhaps there's something that I'm missing. So what I'm trying to say is I'm pulling the court docs. I'm doing a Freedom of Information Act, and I am going to be hide from that 70s show's jailhouse lawyer.
Okay. I mean, I've been in Chicago for the last month or so, and there is a giant building in the downtown that is just a vertical skyscraper-looking building, and it is, in fact, a maximum security prison. And my fiance and I were walking by, and she just goes, oh, yeah, R. Kelly's in there.
No shit.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, what a trip, man, to, like, be mega famous, mega hit maker pop star, and now you're in a Chicago maximum.
So I have a couple thoughts about that. First, you remember that scene in Dunkirk where the Canadian officers are looking out at the ocean and they're saying, you can almost see it. And the other guy says, what? And he goes, oh, you can all, God, I find that movie a fan. When did I become a veteran? So whenever we talk about Dunkirk and get emotional,
you do
two things that I have never experienced that I am weirdly very emotional about is human migration. So I'm very sympathetic to all these people that just want to get across the border, and being a fucking infantryman wanting to.
Yeah, it's like big with that.
Two things I'll never really truly understand, unless this is past life regression shit. That's possible. But can you think about like R. Kelly, who I believe is a Chicago native, right? Looking out from his like little, you know, tiny slant of a window, and just he's like, I can almost see it. And his cellmate says, is looking with him and says, "What's that?" And he goes, "Oh." it's that close. But the second thing I was thinking is, look, we've talked about the Krishna perception that your sinfulness in this life, if we want to say it like that, is just you working through the sin that you have that you need to expel from yourself to get to the next stage of enlightenment, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's actually like a very you know, very, very Newman positive sort of the humanist perspective. But R. Kelly, do you think that this is the humbling, perhaps, like when you say he reached such great heights, do you think he comes out of this and he, what's that goddamn affair that the British are always talking about, the something affair? Whatever. The one dude that was involved in that literal affair that was so scandalizing, he spent the rest of his life scrubbing toilets at like a community center. And it wasn't because he was destitute. He was still, you know, the heir to whatever. It was just because he wanted to devote his life to service and felt in some way that he needed to be humbled in that way. Very AA sort of perspective, you know?
Yeah.
But what if R. Kelly comes out of this and he's just dedicated to service and kind of doing what he can for his fellow man?
It's as possible as anything else, I guess. I mean, I really hope that your AI companion is good at fixing your audio, because you really sound like shit.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Are you on AirPods?
I am.
You are. It's very echoey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm in a hiding room with high ceilings. It's torture.
What do you think about R. Kelly in the same prison as Larry Hoover?
No wonder if they're hanging.
No, that's exact. I mean, immediately I start going with, like, I got a, like, headcanon going on of, like, R. Kelly, you know, it's like his first day in, and Larry's like, bring him to me.
Yep.
You know?
Tracks.
Yeah. This is interesting. I find it very, Wikipedia is great. We often go down Wikipedia holes, but I really recommend, if you can go to, like, any major prison, and they have a section which is notable in
notable this. Yep,
that's so fun. Like, it's total, like, why is this even on here?
Would you look up what the fuck was the correction? Yeah, I went there some goddamn times. Do me a favor, look up New York State correctional facilities. Would you just do that, start with that? The hell is the name of this place? I went there and every other weekend. Not Dannemora.
Sing Sing?
No, I've been there many times.
Groveland?
Nope.
Elmira?
Elmira, thank you. Would you read Elmira notable convicts? I believe Shine was there at the same time as my fellow.
Shine, I believe, put out an album from over the phone.
Yeah, indeed.
While locked up. Notable inmates. Frank Abembembado. Oh, this is one of the Jewish mafia guys. Murder, Inc. Contract killer. Frank Abandando.
Yep. And my father.
You got Lester Ford, serial killer. Nathaniel White, serial killer. Dwight York.
Wait. Go to Lester Ford for a second. Let's see. Hold on.
Ford killed three women and sexually assaulted two others in Queens in 1991. He was arrested and pled guilty to three counts of second-degree murder. He's been incarcerated at Elmira ever since.
Yeah, it's not him. There's a fellow that I'm looking for a little as though. He's like I think I've talked about it. I'll try to get the name. He's like literally like the ventriloquist killer or something. It's ridiculous. I should just do like a three-way call with my father. Had this, like, he was allowed to have his ventriloquist dummy for a few years, and then they eventually took it away from him.
Wow, that's fucked. The ventriloquist shit, I don't fuck with that. Once Nathaniel White. Oh, we got a cult leader, Dwight York.
Yeah. Where is Shine? Well, we're going to see where Shine is approaching. He's now a politician. Did you know that?
Shine is?
Yeah, so as it turns out, he was the son of some sort of diplomat or some shit. And then when he went back to Belize, he ran for office. He's under 45. How fucking insane is that? This dude went to jail. He became an Orthodox Jew. He moved to Jerusalem. There's a lot going on. And now he's in the Belizean House of Representatives.
Shine became an Orthodox Jew?
Yep.
They usually it's Islam.
Yeah, his heart took him in a different direction.
I guess so. We got someone who was exonerated. John Bunn, a man wrongfully convicted of a murder in 1991 when he was 14. Bunn spent over 16 years in prison and nearly 12 on parole before he was exonerated in 2018. Oh, God. Fuck, man. You don't want to go to jail so bad. I mean, back to what we were talking about earlier with who was the guy you were getting updates about on the YouTube channel? Oh, Danny Masterson.
Yeah.
I mean, a conversation that's just like utterly absent from our daily lives is what nightmares prisons are.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's like it's a weird thing because it's not my story to tell. Obviously, I haven't been there, but I've visited them so fucking much. They are hell holes, like true hell holes. It can't be overstated. They're upset, fundamentally dehumanizing places. Yes,
and like it's such a bizarre. I don't. It's a strange thing because I guess no one wants to talk about it, right? Because it's just an upsetting conversation on its face. And like, I don't know, is there some element of like, do we believe that because of the horrible things that people have done, like the things that have led someone to be in there, we're not upset at what happens to the people while they're in there because of their transgressions? The only thing the thing is though, what if you were wrongfully imprisoned? I don't know. Like, no one wants to defend somebody who did something heinous in life, but
yeah,
we got to throw them in a concrete block and so they get raped.
So, this is, I don't know if you, this seems like it'll be outside your wheelhouse a little bit, but if you listen to that, Glenn Lowry show, he had a, public, he might be like a public defender. I think he's part of a think tank. He probably would not be a public defender for some reason, but he was a prosecutor and he's whatever, isn't it funny? And his whole thing is criminal justice through a Christian lens. And I find these guys super fascinating. I read a book about the Christian argument for animal rights and welfare. I think when you have these inclinations towards different types of social justice, but you are a devout person, you try to kind of square that hole, you know, and try to make it make sense for you. So I think that effort was always really interesting. And I listened to the interview with this fellow, and he gave the statistic, like, or the hard numbers, and how many people since the advent of DNA have been exonerated, and it's a small number relative to the prison population.
Yeah.
But it's still like 3,000 human beings who are sitting in jail cells watching their life fly by. Yeah. Or really watching their life crawl by while their potential flies by them. And for no reason other than a false identification, or if you want to, you should actually listen to it just exclusively for this part where it talks about the percentage wise, and I think it was like 50% or something. But go listen to not so I'm not quoted on this, of how many of those false convictions were based on malpractice on the part of the prosecutor. It's a disturbing number, because it's, and Glenn is you know, he's circumspect. He says, what do we mean by malpractice or misconduct, rather? And he's like, oh, withholding evidence of a man's innocence. Can you, Matt, which by the way, oh shit, you want to trip out? This was a, everybody go listen to this. So here's what's fascinating. Prosecutors don't have qualified immunity. They have total immunity. So you cannot take a, so in an effort to protect prosecutors from what the courts feel might be kind of vengeful efforts to jam them up or, you know, kind of court clogging distractions, they are completely indemnified from a civil suit following a wrongful prosecution. So somebody can hire your evidence, allow you to be incarcerated falsely, and face no repercussions except potentially career repercussions. But there's no just, you know what I mean? The justice that you have to console yourself with is, oh, they were disbarred. You know, I think that's the best you could hope for you getting raped in a prison somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Life is trife, as Nas says, and it's rough, and there's a lot of bad things that can happen to you, but it's got to be in the top five of like worst things that can happen, right? Imagine being 15 and getting thrown in prison for 30 years for some shit you didn't do.
I think I've talked about it on this podcast. My neighbor is a kid, friend of the family. He was incarcerated he sold weed and somebody owed him money. And was ducking him. So he went and broke into that guy's house. However, he had a pocket knife that he never brandished that was in his pocket. And in the state of New York, if you do a burglary with a weapon on your body, it ups your charges to some crazy level. So he did years in prison. Years as a what I would call a kid now, right? Like at my advanced age.
Yeah.
And my brother went to visit him and he said it was super tragic because, you know, they had a nice time together and all that. But he said that firstly, the kid had become a monster. He put on like 30 pounds, he had put on 30 pounds of muscle, but a skinny little kid. But and put on 30 pounds of muscle. It was just a beast of a man.
I mean, that's and one thing that's kind of lit about jail is it seems like you go in there and you get ripped.
Yes. Yes.
That's
time to look on the bright side. Let's cheat.
You know, silver linings.
But he said that the tragic part was that my brother was with him for maybe half an hour or whatever, but the dude talks for that entire half hour. Uninterrupted, because and it just seemed to my brother like this kid had not had kind of like an impact or prison politic free conversation in years. You know what I mean? Like if you think about it, you can't, like, this is one thing talking to my father about that incarceration. It's the social dynamic is such that you have to be guarded at all times and be mindful of what you're saying and to who. And you can say that life is like that outside too, but the stakes are much lower. You know what I mean? Like, I find out that there's people mad at me all the time. I've gone there to be pissed off, list and this, that, or the other. And it's like, all right, man, when I see you, we'll either talk about it. It's not like, when you see me in 3 hours, you're going to stab me. You know what I mean? Like, it's quite a difference. So, I've talked about what I think the personal. So, my father says, sorry, I've been to the prison episode. My father says that the worst part of prison is not being able to get a ham sandwich right? And what he means by that is you lose the small economy that is just essential to being an adult, right? Like if right now from the apartment that you're in Chicago, you could step out the door and go get yourself a ham sandwich.
Sure.
And it does not mean anything to your life. You don't think about that ham sandwich in any, it's no stakes, no impact. It's whatever. But when you can no longer do that, you feel it very acutely. You know what I mean? This is my father doesn't use words like acute, but he made it clear that is the worst part of prison. It's beyond all the other things, being separated from the family and feeling like time is indeterminate and you don't know what's going to happen in your future. And obviously the most painful thing for most people and why those places become very violent during holidays is because everybody fears that they've been forgotten. And this is why, in the Christian faith, I think it is a really nice thing. It's one of the nicest things in that particular belief system. When he says, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was incarcerated and did you visit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, people feel forgotten, but the ham sandwich is the real thing. And so that's bad, but I think I've said that my personal based on, and I've got a song about this on the new Drug Trade Record, is can you imagine not having an intelligent conversation? And you and I are not smart people, so what passes for intelligent for us is like it's a low bar.
Yeah.
But could you imagine not? Yeah, exactly. It's a bit like being with my bandmates. They're so incurious. They're like maybe the dumbest people ever. And imagine being among that for years at a time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you on that about your bandmates, but I mean, do you feel that way in the van? We have a new goal for this podcast. We have to get successful enough where strangers on the internet accuse you of taking Peter Thiel money. Because I see people doing that to Tim Dillon right now. And I'm thinking, like, I haven't really kept up with Tim Dillon very much. I like his podcast. I think he's funny. But I'm looking for any evidence that this guy has anything to do with Peter Thiel. And I can't find anything. Why would someone just make that up?
Camille took the money.
Oh yeah, he did. But Camille's a journalist who makes things. Like, if someone gives you money to make something, then you make it.
Here's what I'll say in regards to this, and I'm sure it goes without saying, is if Peter Thiel offers us money, we will take it.
I won't even really think about it very much, honestly.
Yeah, there will be no type of reflection on what this means.
Yeah,
taking the money.
Listen. My unemployment ran out. I'm taking the money.
I'm taking the money, everybody.
But I just it's strange when people lie, right? Like, especially about people where, like, you have that lyric. Well, there's lots of reasons to dislike these people, to not be in the same camp as them. Why do you make shit up? Like, you saw the bloodbath thing, right?
Oh, yeah. It's bizarre.
Yeah, so all these, for people that don't know, that it's Trump giving a speech or whatever and says something about if he doesn't win the next election, that what's going to happen to the auto industry, it'll be a bloodbath. And news outlets reported on this and just said, if Trump doesn't win the election, it will be a bloodbath. Yeah, that's, you're being crazy dishonest when you say it like that.
Wow.
Why? But like, why don't they just say the full thing?
Because then it wouldn't look as terrible, and you have to oversell your point. You have to. I mean, people wouldn't want to believe that Trump would say something like that. So it doesn't take very much to get them on board. All they have to do is hear the word bloodbath, and context-free people are in. So it's kind of a layup.
I guess that's their, and that's who they're trying to market to in the first place.
Yeah, the base. I think,
but isn't that crazy? Like, that means that, like, mainstream journalism has become niche.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fucked. But they kind of, we can talk all day about, like, the internet and the digitization of things and the, you know, the sort of, whatever you want to call it, like, what the internet has done with, alternative media and stuff like that. But really, like...
The democratization of what was formerly guarded spaces, such as
drugs. Sure. But like...
And you and I would be people that would normally say, that's a plus. But then you see the outcome and you go, oh, shit.
But like, I mean, it sucks. I mean, there's good and bad to be said about it, right? But we can talk about what's killing larger media, right? And that's certainly a major, major part of it. But you also didn't do yourselves any favors by seriously, like, I mean, listen, I'm sure there's plenty of examples. You can go back to the New York Times or the LA Times or whatever. I'm sure they've sucked forever. I'm sure they've always been partisan hacks. But the last fucking 10 or so years, you really expedited the death of your fucking institutions.
Yes. Yes, there's no doubt.
It's crazy. I don't know. And it's like, I understand, you know, back 20, 30 years ago, you could get away with being wildly dishonest because you weren't, but like, it's so easy to find out that things are being misrepresented. And it's like, man.
No, listen, everything reaches its all. Like, it's level, right? So it's easier to find out that something's fake, so people just look less. it's like, yeah, listen, I would prefer to believe the fake thing. So I'm going to not investigate that matter, which in 2024 involves Google.
Yeah. But why? Okay, so maybe that's a deeper question then. Why prefer the fake thing? You know?
Because it... justifies your feeling of superiority or your feeling of outrage or your feeling of being aggrieved at your fellow man. You know what I mean? Whatever.
There's plenty of that with the real thing, I think.
Like, okay. Again, this fellow that I'm watching get killed in comic books right now. He is just a caricature and a douche. And so being a caricature and a douche, anything that people say about you, I mean, look, I think you've talked about it maybe obliquely, and I'll continue to talk about it that way. There's a hardcore deity that got uber canceled, you know, like had to grow a beard type of cancel. I had to be David Banner from the Hulk show, you know?
Yeah.
but that dude, people that were witness to some of the things that he was accused of quietly are like, yeah, that didn't happen. Now, some of it did. So they're not inclined to defend him. And they also don't want to jump out on him. But once the things started piling up, everybody was just okay with the fact that some of the pile was completely fabricated. because it was still some of the pile, and that pile, and not all of it, and that pile also reinforced the original statement, which, as it turns out, was at least mostly true. So you just kind of pile up and pile up, and people are like, oh, this is, yes, it fits. It fits. Where there's, you know, people love where there's smoke, there's fire. They love all those little, like, weird, that's the weirdest one to me, where it's like, that's just like a folksy expression, right? It's not like detectives don't say that.
Yeah, no, where there's smoke, there could be a smoke machine.
Yeah, like, very strange.
Yeah.
I think I'm losing my jawline. Am I getting fat? Is that what's happening? Or am I just at a weird angle?
Your lighting is atrocious.
Maybe I'm
always fat.
No, you were, there were points in your life where you were like worryingly gaunt.
Should I go back?
I mean, I don't think you've changed much. It's probably just, it's, I mean, yeah, you probably, I wouldn't say you're fat, but you've definitely gained weight, but that's probably just from your metabolism. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You probably got to get on TRT.
I mean, I definitely do. Hey, listen,
our boy Ian was on Rogan. Maybe he can get us some test.
I could just use some Alpha Brain.
Alpha Brain sounds nice.
You know what? I'm going to put it in the Amazon list. If there's vegan Alpha Brain, I will try the vegan Alpha Brain.
Vegan Alpha Brain. I mean, what the fuck is Alpha Brain?
I think it's like, you know, non-medicinal mushrooms. I don't.
God. Was that sounds like Breaking Edge then.
No, it's not like psychedelic mushrooms. It's like, look it up. Or maybe that's Shroom Tech or something. These.
Sorry, you've been in the drug church van too long.
I don't know, man.
That sounds like some shit they would talk about. You got to get on the Shroom Tech so you can do better kick flips.
Yeah, you know, I cannot tell you how much I hate skateboarding. I can't tell. Listen, everybody, I don't care if you're gay. It's not like it's 2024. Who gives a shit? But talking about skateboarder style, not meaning like their performance and tricks, but their style, like their clothes, I swear to God, I've never been around young men where I've been like, oh, yo, you gay. You know what I mean? Like, I never thought, talking about a skateboarder style, can you imagine? It's insane.
I mean, skateboarding is something you get into as like a pretty young person. And when I was young, I was mega fat and I had terrible fucking balance. So skateboarding was never it for me.
But can you, I mean, just reflect for a second on the idea of like if you were around somebody with a really good style, like fashion, I mean, you, and they were your friend, you might say, oh, you're looking really sharp. Yeah. Right? You might say that. Would you ever say that about a fucking stranger?
If someone's looking sharp, sure. Why not?
So you would say, man, he's got cool style. And you would turn to me, Patrick, and you'd say, Patrick, that guy's got cool style. Would you say that? You'd never say that. You've never said that in your life. You've never said that
to me. No, I've never said that to you. But I can acknowledge when someone looks sharp.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what style is. I mean, you're talking to the guy who doesn't understand interior design either.
No, fuck it. We both, at this point, you own a Creepshow shirt. I own a Pumpkinhead shirt. It's all. But what I'm saying is like, it's an absurd idea to look at another man and go, man, he has a cool style. What? Again, this is not a middle school playground. You're free to love who you want to love.
Sure.
It's just, holy shit, brother. That's gay.
It's pretty gay. Can I read the ingredients for Alpha Brain?
Yeah, please.
All right. So you got vitamin B6. All right. You got L-tyrosine. What the fuck that is. You got oat extract, which sounds pretty good. Phosphatidylserine.
Okay.
Some call it cat's claw.
Favorite, yeah.
You got bark extract. I think this is just garbage. L-alpha glycerylphosphorophil chlorine. That's real. You got bacopa extract. You got Hoperzia serrata. This is just made up. This is just made up.
Hold on. I just searched Alpha Brain Vegan.
I think it's vegan. Unless there's some, unless cat's claw. I don't know. It might come from a cat.
Hold on. Okay, so it's not, some people are saying it is, some people are saying it isn't. This is very frustrating.
I don't know. I mean, vitamin B6 sounds fine. I mean, I think that's the active ingredient. I think the rest of it is garbage.
Hold on.
I think they just found a way to sell vitamin B6 to idiots.
Hold on. Here's a, so the question on this Amazon product, that, you know how you can ask questions about the product?
Yeah.
Is this product suitable for vegans? There's a response from 8 years ago from a user named Borat, who says, "It sounds like you are low. It sounds like you are low on testosterone. Look into their T plus. It should fix this issue."
Wow, roasted by Borat.
All right, look. So Shroom Tech is vegan. So let's see what Shroom Tech. So let's see what Shroom Tech does.
I'm looking at a 1-star review of this particular alpha brain. It says great if you're looking for a near death experience. This product needs to be thrown in the boxing ring to get an ass whooping from Joe Rogan athletes, or maybe it should be given to his Fear Factor contestants to see who can function the longest through the side effects of extreme vomiting and the slow, taunting approach of near death. Yeah, I think this guy was dope sick.
Yeah, not buying that one.
Not buying it. It's vitamin B. You probably took too much, you moron.
I mean, green tea makes me throw up violently. If I have it on an empty stomach, immediately throw up, like immediately. By the way, a couple of things I wanted to talk about before we have to go is Suicide Machines first LP is very good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's job one. I just want to say that. Also, I'm sure that this will come up on Axe to Grind this week, so we don't have to belabor it, but. What do you think about going to a hardcore fest and not watching Hatebreed?
That would be pretty weird to me. Even if Hatebreed is not one of your, like, if that's not the type of hardcore you go for, you'd still watch them, right?
Well, apparently there was some walkout before Hatebreed.
That's crazy. Who played before him?
I don't know. I know that at LDB. I mean, look, I had a really good time at LDB. So I'm not shitting on that. And nor am I saying that kids really need to like things that started 15 years before their dose.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that.
Were you at LDB, the one that just happened?
No.
Where are you?
I'm in Vancouver.
Oh, rough.
Yeah, it is rough. I've decided to get a job in the film industry here. I'm shooting the next Jackie Chan movie.
Are they hiring? I'll fucking live in Vancouver. Rough.
I'm sure Chicago is rough. I've told you, the only gig that you're going to get at these podunk towns like Chicago is, maybe working for the local PBS affiliate.
Yeah, I think one of those like Judge shows shoots here, like Judge Madness or something.
Oh, that might be right. That would be great, kid.
I'd work it. Fuck it. Go on.
No, go on.
I was just gonna say in regards to into LDB that I see people arguing over Obituary.
Yeah. Okay. So I got it on good authority that the Obituary set actually went well.
I think a lot of people were talking about the live stream didn't look cool, but like, I don't know what it is exactly, like what the missing element is, but like, I've been to shows that were like a religious experience for me and then watched the video back and I was like, this looks kind of whack.
I saw a clip of Obituary playing in what looked like the 1990s, and it looked clear. It looked
clear. Well, yeah. That one clip of them on MTV or whatever. Yeah, it's amazing.
But generally, once those bands put on weight and their fans put on weight.
Sure. Yeah.
No disrespect to the fatties in a fucking audience, but once that happens, it becomes really difficult to get some of the kind of, you know, gene short stage dives that you would want, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So it's not going to be as low, I don't think. But
yeah.
You know, I mean, look, it's also, it's metal at a hardcore fest. I know everybody thinks these are the same thing now, but there is still some difference, and it doesn't always go light, you know?
No, there's a giant difference, and sometimes it's lit, and sometimes, I mean, there's certainly plenty of crossover between metal and hardcore, but there's also plenty of not. There's a lot of people that just listen to hardcore and don't really fuck with metal.
Yes. And whatever, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure we'll explore this on Extra Grind to some navel-gazing degree, but okay, so I was talking to one of the fellows on this tour, Adam, who drums for Alkaline Trio right now. Yep. Are you familiar with this fellow?
I mean, I saw him, we didn't have a conversation.
But are you familiar with his resume?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so let's see. Oh yeah, he was most notable for being a Rocket from the Crypt drummer.
Okay.
But since then, he's drummed in everything from Offspring to Social Distortion, Against Me. You see, to a lot of people, he's really an icon.
His time. Sure. Okay.
Rocket from the Crypt. Anyway, really good drummer, really nice guy. And he picked the playlist for the house music playing at the shows, right? And
yeah,
everybody, when you're talking to a professional musician, they don't mean house music like dance music. They mean the music that plays from the house, right? So the venue. So he had some Damned tracks on it.
Yeah.
And he and I were discussing that the Damned is like that misses me entirely. I think so. He's 50 or 49, maybe 50. And I said, are you the youngest Damned fan? Because once you hit my age, there are no Damned fans at all. And I think it goes the same way. If you're 3 years younger than me, you couldn't really be a fan of, for example, Dead Kennedys, right? And then if you're 3 years younger than that, you probably could not earnestly be a fan of if I say mine's direct, I'll upset myself, but maybe Minor Threat, 7 Seconds, let's say. And so on and so forth, right?
No, I mean, I think it's all kind of, I mean, I like the Damned. I like Dead Kennedys. I never really got into 7 Seconds. I mean, super familiar with Minor Threat. They were a gateway band at a young age.
I mean, the other day I walked past Alkaline Trio's green room and they were Think Again was playing.
Yeah.
So I almost mocked Nico. I was thinking about it. Sorry, this is a nerdy conversation, but I was thinking about if I had to define, now as a New York guy, this would be different, I think. But if I had to define like hardcore music as like a sort of a mental state, something more esoteric than sound, I would say Think Again and by Minor Threat and Can't Tell No One by Negative Approach would be the two songs that I would say, there you go. You know what I mean? Spiritually, here you are. But what I'm saying is things get erased, like the sands of time blow away.
Yeah.
As, you know, and I don't know, the Damned would be a tough one for, like, the example I always use is Velvet Underground. Do you know anyone your age that's a Velvet Underground fan in earnest, or is it an affectation for the fucking two dudes, you know, who claim to like the Velvet Underground?
I mean, I like that one album, Which one? The one, Sweet Jane, whichever one that has. That album's all right.
Okay.
But it's weird. I mean, like, because I was born in 1990, but like that week that all that fucking Agnostic Front shit was going on, I was like, I'm going to fucking listen to some fucking Agnostic Front. And I listened to Cause for Alarm, and God damn it, that album, that's for me, that's the album. That's the band, sure. The album. I fucking love that fucking album. I bought an Agnostic Front t-shirt and I already own three. I did. I bought another one. But like, I wasn't around for any of that. I didn't see Agnostic Front for the first time until 2007, 2008, maybe.
Mm.
You know? So like, I don't know. I mean, like, what imprints on you is, I don't think necessarily, I mean, time is a factor, right? Like, you weren't, you know, when Minor Threat was doing things, you were barely alive, if at all.
Barely alive, yeah.
Yeah, so, but like, you connected with that when it was how old? Probably 15 years at that point. So, yep. So you know, I mean, yeah, but I mean, I guess, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on the sands of time's blowing things away, per se, but yeah, I mean, the Damned feels a little more, like, I mean, Mac is younger than me, he loves the Damned. I think he loves the Damned. Maybe I'm thinking of X. I don't know. So, sometimes with those like 70s era punk bands, they can kind of homogenize a little bit.
X is a little easier though, because X has two bona fide great tracks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You can say great albums for sure.
Yeah.
But there are two X songs that I would say, yeah, nobody doesn't like theirs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but the Damned, I don't know if that's, I mean, the Damned also feels dated. It feels like being really into like Universal Monsters.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I mean, I saw them 2 years ago, and oh boy, they're old. And I think they just played a show recently. They are some aging folks.
Here's an interesting thought.
Okay,
someone the other day was complaining about how they're getting old and their body is falling apart. And they are, and then it was revealed they are my age. Has this ever happened to you? You're younger than I am. It might happen to you in the respect that you run into people your age that like consider themselves old heads in some way. You know, maybe that's the case. But do you know anybody, like, I'm now at the age, and I find this somewhat irritating, where people will act like it is a given that at my age, their age, that you are going to be in steep decline, which is something I can joke about. Like, my eyes are starting to go, and that's frustrating for sure.
Yeah.
I think that general, unless you have a ton of sports related injuries or something, your body should work.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. I think you kind of plateau after 30, right? Like, I mean, that's when, you know, athletes kind of, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, LeBron is still playing, but like, generally speaking, the career span for a guy in the NBA, he gets in there at 18. And by the time he's 32, 33, it's like, you know, maybe he's got one more season in him, but he's looking at, he's 1 foot out the door, maybe. So, yep. I mean, the thing is, like, I didn't really get into exercise or fitness until I was like 31. And I went for a jog earlier today. Yo, I don't ever get better at it. I can jog 5 days a week. It sucks every time. My pace doesn't really increase. And I feel like I want to die for the 40 minutes that I'm doing it. I feel better after I complete it. And like, yeah, I don't have like a torn fucking Achilles, right? But I mean, that might happen. So maybe that'll happen when I'm 43, you know? But, you know, I mean, I think, yeah, like certainly by no, but by very, I mean, only to a proper young person would I be considered old, right? I'm still young in the scheme of things. I still have more than half of my life in front of me. But that being said, I don't know, you feel it sometimes. You wake up with a headache. You're like, ugh, I didn't even do anything. Why do I feel like shit today? Like, what happens?
I mean, yes, you are, you are in decline, but it shouldn't be steep, I don't think.
No, it's not steep. It's not steep. It's just, it's steady. Steady decline.
Now, I promise that I'll have better audio next time, but here's what I'd like you to do. Is somebody in you or somebody in your home have Amazon Prime?
I think we do, yeah.
I want you to watch the Roadhouse remake, please.
The first, the original is fucking fantastic.
It is, but I want you to watch it with two ideas in mind.
Okay.
Because I don't know. And people at home, if you want to call me decrepit and aged, or conversely, or in addition, also a racist, that would be fine. I don't propose that I am right about everything. It's possible that perhaps I have rose-colored glasses and also, and again, a very racist, but...
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Well, hey, podcast listener. My name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
My two takeaways from watching this film is, well, firstly, the reason that I'm talking about this is because Jake Gyllenhaal is 43 and he's fucking an absolute beast.
Well, they get, you can't go by celebs, man, because they get the secret drugs and they get the adrenochrome.
They do.
But recently, all the jokes aside, like, is that just like, man, are actors actors at that level a different breed where that's just like a one dedicated motherfucker? Or is he so rich that he can get the best of everything?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both, for sure.
It is,
for sure.
But it is both, right? Like, people want to be able to say like, oh, well, he's rich and he can get the best dietitian and the best trainer and he can sleep all day and not have to work and like, you know, he can do all the right things to take care of himself to get in that shape. But it's like, yo, you still got to be dedicated as fuck, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's, Fiona was telling me on a recent episode of one of those girl podcasts, Megan Fox did an interview where she talks about all, no, different one. She'd be a great guest though. She talks about all of her surgeries and she's very forthcoming. About all the cosmetic surgery that she's done. However, he stops short and says, and then there's this other one that I get that I'm not going to talk about because it's kind of it's still very off label for civilian, you know, for anybody listening to this that isn't already aware of it, it's just going to be one of those frustrating things where you're going to go to your doctor and ask for it, and he's going to say, "We don't do that," or "I've never heard of that." Yeah. So she keeps it to herself. Now, obviously, there's a lot of women sitting there humble shipping that going, of course, right? But Megan Fox was born attractive. Do you know what I mean? you couldn't simply undergo whatever process she's talking about and look like Megan Fox. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there is that other thing going on. So, I think that it is a combination, certainly, of those two things. But I want you to watch it and see. And here's the two things I'd like you to consider when I'd like to convene on this for our next Patreon. A, were things, is this exclusively rose-colored glasses, or was exploitation filmmaking and like, not your fault, it's like a cliche kind of crap, was it still held to a higher standard at the time of the original Rogue Rattles? Is the supporting cast of the new Roadhouse, like a pure DEI sort of mind game being played on American people? The reason I say this is because either I have the worst expectations and projecting that, or the woman that owns the bar in this movie is the worst actress who has ever walked the face of the earth. And I'm open to the idea that I'm hateful.
Okay.
And I like, if you come back to me and you say, "You know, Patrick, I thought she was a brilliant actress," or "I thought she was within the spectrum of like acceptable acting ability," I'll say, okay, that's probably just my internalized misogynoir. But I could not get over how bad this person was at their job. Like, that is not...
The Roadhouse remake, same director as the movie Swingers.
No.
Yep.
No. I don't think that's possible.
I'm looking at his IMDb right now, Mr. Doug Liman, L-I-M-A-N, Liman.
You're thinking of Walter Matthau.
Oh, all right. Listen, we're at about an hour, so your audio quality is about to take a steep decline. But should we entertain a message really quick?
Yeah.
Let's do it here. We also, I think I mentioned once before that we also get text messages, which we'll get to. But let's do it. This, because we haven't done one in a minute, let's do an audio message here.
And I had a better track with Liam Newton-Jazz here. Not a question for you. Well, more specifically for Patrick. Patrick, you're one to always want to pick up for the little guy, especially the river, again, beating them and everything by people online and all that shit. The real question is, when are you going to go after the real little guy? And I mean, John Hinckley. We could go play a show with John Hinckley, man. No, but kind of John Hinckley show when you would tell me we're beat it.
Can I answer this for you? You do it tomorrow.
I would do it tomorrow. And now that you put it in my mind, I'll try to make it a thing. Certainly, we would do, like, if I could get St. Vitus to put up this self-defense first show in a couple years, with, you know, co-headliner with John Hinckley, I would do it, and I would provide security for John Hinckley.
I know Andrew is on board. I know he's a Hinckley stan. Why won't they let Hinckley play shows?
I think it's like boomer limb brain at work is my only guess.
That's crazy. I mean, all I see from, I see a lot from people on the internet about Reagan, right? They're talking about how Reagan ruined everything, which is just such a, we like, there's so many, like, we don't have time to talk about that, or how stupid that is. I mean, yeah, Reagan, sure. There's a lot of bad can be said about the guy. But if you're blaming him for the way things are in 2024, whatever. I don't know why, like, is it just the venue gets skittish? Like, what is it? Like, because I think young people would be stoked to go support the guy who tried to shoot Ronald Reagan.
Yes. Okay. That's one element.
Did shoot Ronald Reagan.
That's one element. The other element is he served his debt to society. Get off the man's fucking dick.
Yes. Let him,
you know what I mean?
Then play his fucking music.
That's it. We've agreed that here's the deal. You do something naughty, you sit down for a determined amount of time. And at the end of that, you serve your debt to society, you rejoin us, and you do your best. And I don't have any patience for the weather sheet.
Yeah, I guess it would be the, if you, for whenever you have time to do self-defense shows, if it happens in 2024, it would be the first show in what, like almost 3 years, right?
Yep. So I will see if it's possible. I'm sure there's other bands that have reached out to them, but I'll see if it's a doable thing. You know what?
That'd be so sick.
I'll see if the if we can do another Oxbow self-defense Hinkley thing, because I'm quite certain that the Oxbow guys would be Hinkley. They'd be ready to fight for Hinkley.
Yeah, we're propping up Hinkley out here. I think I saw someone say that it's an issue because he was Jodie Foster's stalker. And it's like, did he stalk her properly, or was he just like delusionally, weirdly in love with her?
I mean, who cares? He's had 35 years to get over it. What are we talking
about? Yeah, and he doesn't seem hung up on it anymore. I did see recently that he said something about how the internet's obsession with Sydney Sweeney is weird. And it's like, well, this would be the guy who would know about it.
Yeah. He's got some insight.
He's got some insight. All right, everybody, patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. If you want to, let me bring up the number here. I've almost got it memorized, so I don't need to do this every time. But I think it's like a 720-805-9785. Call the number and you can leave a message. You can also text it. I feel like that might be more, people might like that. 720-805-9785 and patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. You got anything else for the people this week?
No, that's it. Day out the pen, century.
Day out the pen. Oh, put that John Hinckley thing in your group chats right now, because I don't want this to fall by the wayside.
I'll see what can be done.
Goodbye.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out and stop listening to other podcasts?